Hello, podcast listeners. We know podcasts are a great way to catch up on a program that you may have missed on KSJE, and it's provided as a free service of this radio station. But you know, KSJE is now listener-supported, and so while you enjoy this podcast, we hope that you'll also take some time to join KSJE. Become a member today. It's quite easy to do. Just go to our website at ksje.com/support and pick the level of support that best matches your budget. Thanks again for listening. Here's your podcast. Let me turn to my guests who are here with me this morning from the San Juan Regional Heart Center. Again, Dr. Rahul Gakru is here. Dr. Gakru, good morning. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Good to have you here. Thank you very much. Also joining us here in our studio again, Tammy Herrera is here, the supervisor of the cardiac cath lab at the hospital. Good morning.
Good morning.
And we were talking that you've been there from the very beginning of the cath lab, right?
1997, yes.
How about that? So, very good. Well, it's great to have both of you here. And Dr. Gakru, let me turn to you first because you are relatively new to the area. You were telling me your family and you arrived over the summer.
Yes, sir.
Very good. Are you enjoying it so far?
So far, so good.
Good. Well, and unfortunately, though, I guess we have a lot of patients to keep you busy, and so that's probably why you're here this morning to
my pleasure.
Get some news out about how to keep our hearts healthy. February, of course, is Heart Month, and of course, with Valentine's Day, and so we want to make sure everyone has a healthy heart. And so there are things that we can do to be healthy, and tell me a little bit more about what some of those things are.
Yeah, I would say I think the four steps which are most crucial for a healthy heart is first would be exercise. American Heart and as well as San Juan Regional both recommend 30 minutes of moderate to high intensity exercise 5 days a week at least.
Okay, that's just 30 minutes a day, 5 days a week?
Yeah, that's it. So okay. Only around 150 minutes, which is a 2.5 hours a week only.
Right. Gotcha. And, of course, we're showing for our viewers who are watching us, you've got some graphics that I know Mr. Juan Hart is a busy guy. He gets out there and talks about some of these things, right? But exercising is one of the ways to prevent heart problems, right? What are some of the other ones?
Second one I would say is the diet. You know, you have to have a very well-balanced diet with a high consumption of fruits and vegetables, at least 5 servings a day. And I would say portion size as well as duration between the meals, very important. And the division of the food, you know, the percentage of protein, carbohydrate, and vegetables, very important. So almost similar to 1/3 each for a very well-balanced diet, for very good nutrition to your body.
Okay. All right. That's important as well. Good. And not just all the other snacky things that we are eating. That's probably
Absolutely.
Not on the list anywhere.
Absolutely.
Right. Okay. Very good. Our weight, that's part of it too.
Absolutely. So, again, it's difficult to lose weight, but with the right exercise and diet regimen, you can lose weight. But maintaining, again, is very crucial. I would say the good way is around losing 1 pound per week. If you're aiming for weight, because sudden weight loss also can come with some side effects. So slow and steady progress towards the weight loss is, again, very important.
Not dramatic weight loss. I guess that could cause other issues,
yes,
you're saying.
Yes, absolutely. So I would say come up with your diet and exercise regimen. Numerous options are available for you to choose and then slow and steady weight loss.
Right. And I would think that if I'm doing the other two steps that you mentioned, the weight loss is probably going to be almost automatic.
Absolutely, yeah.
If I'm exercising and eating right.
Yeah, exercising, eating right, and the portion control.
Mm-hmm.
Very crucial. Like I would say, any meal of the day, you know, it takes 20 minutes for the brain to feel full. So if you're eating faster or slower, I would say take your time, don't do any talking or other work while eating.
That's interesting that it takes it that long.
Absolutely. Yeah. Chew your food properly, maybe 25, 30 times single bite,
mm-hmm,
to digest it properly and for proper absorption. And the slower you eat, the less you eat. And again, your brain will get full in 20 minutes. You'll feel full.
Right.
So,
but if I'm eating fast and
you're gonna eat more in 20 minutes.
Right. I've got 20 minutes more food than I needed, really.
This is approximate. This may vary people to people, but just an approximate idea,
mm-hmm,
that how much time it takes for your body to feel full.
I gotcha. Interesting. Okay. I hadn't heard that before, so that's very interesting. And then there's another step too, right? And that is...
The last one would be smoking at highest, very high risk factor, including from young age to old age. Interesting story. You know, one of my close friends lives not in the U.S., 31 years old, very slim, good diet, one risk factor, had a heart attack at 31 years age.
Oh.
So 100% blockage, one of the arteries, got a stent, timely save, because he knew the symptoms right. We're going to discuss that next.
Yes, right.
And
but he was did good. He was a smoker?
Just one risk factor.
That's what he was doing.
One risk factor and no other risk factor.
Healthy guy
otherwise. Healthy gentleman, 33 years old.
Yeah.
And had a heart attack somewhere in the Middle East.
Right.
He lives in Dubai and got timely, he got timely updates. Whatever he felt, he notified his family, went to the hospital, got timely care, did not lose any muscle.
Okay. Which is important. Absolutely. And we'll talk about that too, right? Because if I am having a heart attack or someone's having a heart attack, right? We've talked about time equals muscle, right? That means that something is impacting my heart. And the more time it takes to fix that, the weaker my heart may get, the more damaged the heart muscle may get.
Absolutely, yeah. So again, heart attacks, you know, majority of the people, around 50% of the people will have early signs. You have to be very careful. It's not always classic chest pain. You can have chest pain. And let me maybe simplify it a little bit. Any pain, I would say, starting from the tip of the nose to your belly button.
Okay.
So from the upper jaw, lower jaw, your neck, radiating to the arm, could be a sign of heart attack or heart disease.
Okay.
So I'd be very careful to your body, how your body is behaving and how you're feeling. These symptoms differ in men and women. Men usually have more classic presentation with chest pain, left-sided, more with exertion, radiating to the left arm. Usually the inner aspect of the arm than the outer aspect. But
okay.
Again, it could vary.
Right.
Women, a little bit more atypical symptoms, sometimes more right-sided chest pain, more epigastric pain in women. And
that means what, in your throat or your chest or upper gastric?
No, in the chest, on the right side, as well as the abdomen, upper part of the stomach.
Thank you. Gotcha. And so those could be different, but still indicating a heart attack in either one, men or women.
Absolutely, yes. So earlier signs are better because faster we take care of that patient, the more chances we can save the heart muscle.
Right. Which is why time equals muscle.
Absolutely.
And that's what we're talking about. And so getting to the hospital is important, and getting to the cath lab and things like that, because there are things that you can do. I know also your advice is don't drive yourself.
Absolutely.
To the emergency department. That's probably the worst thing you could do, because calling an ambulance, and then you can start some of the procedures.
Basic medications, yeah. Medications, and you can have monitoring. If your heart goes into an abnormal rhythm with driving, then you put yourself as well as the other community at risk.
Right.
So highly not recommended. American Heart also recommends against driving yourself.
Sure. And so if I'm in the ambulance, then the ambulance crew, the paramedics, are being able to monitor, transmit back to the hospital and the cath lab, I guess, or whatever is needed, what to be ready for.
Absolutely.
When
I
get there.
They can do the EKG at site, and the most important, most important thing in our field of our cardiology is called ST elevation MI. So that ST is a part of our EKG segment, which is electrocardiogram. You can easily visualize on a 12-lead EKG, which shows the electrical rhythm of your heart. And if they see a sign of a ST elevation on the EKG, they can activate the emergency room and the nearest cath lab, which has the services available to take care of major heart attack patients.
Right, immediately.
Immediately.
Right.
And then we are waiting and we are ready for the patient to arrive.
And that's...
So we even skip the emergency room, patient comes straight from the ambulance to our cath lab, and then we start our procedure for opening the vessel and saving the heart muscle.
Right. And Tammy Herrera, doctor mentioned cath lab, so I want to ask you just a couple of questions about the cath lab, right? Because
sure.
This is something that your folks are ready all the time, right? If the ambulance is bringing in a patient, I mean, you folks
correct.
Mobilize and are ready and can get that data from the ambulance and know what to expect when the patient rolls through the door.
Correct. We are on call 24/7, so if we are home or even in the middle of the night and get that information, we can get the team activated and headed into the lab and meet the patient there. It really improves our time.
And that improves the outcome for that patient then, depending on how long it
correct.
Took them to get that treatment?
Correct. The goal is less than 90 minutes from the time the patient arrives to the facility, so the faster the better.
Gotcha. Okay, very good. And Dr. Gakru, again, some of the procedures that can be done. You mentioned a stent in your friend. That's one of the things that can be done for a patient who's had maybe a heart attack or a heart problem. What else is out there?
Absolutely. So San Juan Regional Heart Center is offering all varieties of cardiac services. We have our cardiac clinic, see our patients, physical exam. We do electrocardiogram, which is the EKG. We do echocardiogram, which is the ultrasound of the heart, which can check for the heart muscle function and the heart valvular disease and the valvular function. We are doing a TEE, transesophageal echocardiogram, which is another way of ultrasound of the heart, which is done from the food pipe in certain special situations for mitral valve disease or patient with atrial fibrillation who needs to be converted back to normal rhythm. We are doing procedures for the heart and the legs, includes the angiogram as well as angioplasty. Angiogram is taking pictures of the heart as well as the leg muscles and leg arteries, and angioplasty means intervention with a balloon or a stent.
Mm-hmm. And that's what opens up vessels,
those blockages,
right?
Yes.
Blockages. And that can really make a big difference, right?
Absolutely.
If someone's got years and years of buildup, I suppose.
Absolutely. The cholesterol plaque in the heart and the legs, we can easily take care of that. And we have 4 full-time cardiologists available at our facility. We are happy to serve the community here.
And that is important because, again, we were talking before we came on the air this morning that the San Juan Regional Heart Center is the nearest center within a radius of 200 miles or so, right? Albuquerque would be the only other
closer
one?
Yes, our nearest referral center is the University of New Mexico, Albuquerque, for high-risk open heart surgery patients. Or any other services which we cannot provide here, the University of New Mexico is our primary partner for optimal heart care.
Sure. But having folks like yourself and Tammy Herrera locally and here within that radius provides that service pretty quickly.
Absolutely, yeah. So if anyone is having chest pain or having a heart attack in the reservation or in the Four Corners area, they don't have to fly to Denver, Phoenix, or New Mexico, Albuquerque. We can provide all these emergency services right here in Farmington, New Mexico.
Right. And some of the other symptoms I wanted to show and talk a little bit about, because, again, some of the obvious ones that you would think, the pain in the arm that you mentioned, the chest, things like that, but fatigue, some of these other things that are on here, the nausea, the shortness of breath, those also go along with it sometimes.
Absolutely. And one of the most crucial ones I would say is if someone has a new episode of chest pain, unusual with episode of diaphoresis, which means sweating at rest or at sitting, I would say very highly concerning. I would highly recommend that patient to go to the emergency room, get, you know, his checkup with an EKG, blood test, looking for a signs of heart attack. Because this sweating can be a very crucial marker to differentiate between an simple to medium intensity chest pain versus a medium to high risk heart attack.
Right. We always hear that sometimes folks may miss the signs of a heart attack and call it indigestion or just something else as a way to just not think about it. It's as serious as it is.
Absolutely. Yeah. I would pay attention to how your body is behaving, any regular physical exam with your medical doctor and whatever specialist you need to see. Majority of the services are available at San Juan Regional Medical Center, and I would, you know, close follow up with the healthcare.
Right.
As needed for your optimal health.
Exactly. We were talking, too, that, again, it's heart disease is the number one killer still of Americans. And so knowing these warning signs, knowing those 4 steps that you mentioned to prevent heart attack, because, again, a lot of those things are preventable.
Absolutely.
There are some things that aren't, I guess, genetics and family history and things like that we necessarily can't control, but a lot of these things we can.
Yeah, new developments in the medications we have made. We have antiplatelet medication like aspirin and newer medications for heart disease prevention and to take care of our stents which we implant. We have numerous advanced cholesterol pills to control your body's cholesterol, as well as lower down the bad cholesterol to prevent having heart attack in the future. So all varieties of medications we have now in our armamentarium to take optimal care of our patients.
Right. And again, you were mentioning that it's mostly folks that are maybe 50-plus that run into this, but you're seeing it in younger patients.
Yes, absolutely. In the previously, I would say more in the middle-aged people, but in the last 6 months I've been in Farmington, we have had patients with age of 23 having a heart attack. At least, I would say at least five people in last 5 to 6 months, less than 35 years old, we have had a massive heart attack, which we provided care and took timely treatment. So very crucial to pay attention to your health and the signs of heart attack, because 50% people get a warning sign, and these this is preventable, because let's say if you have a 3-hour delay and your front wall artery, the LAD, which is called the widowmaker, is closed, then you lose 40% of your muscle of the heart. And that your heart function can decrease. Normal person, it's 60 to 65% of the normal function. If you lose that front wall muscle, then your heart function can go down to around 30%. It's very difficult to regenerate without timely treatment as well as optimal medications. So highly recommend to be very aware of these signs and symptoms and
Right. Let me ask you a bit about recovery, because again, depending on the severity of the heart attack or whatever damage has been done, and that I guess depends a lot on how your recovery goes too.
Absolutely. I would say the recovery depends also on how well you have maintained your body before and how you respond to the medications. We have multiple variety of medications to slow down the heart, for cardiac remodeling, for decreasing the cholesterol and keep our stents open. So I would say it's very variable. You cannot predict, but majority of the patients, if given timely care and continuing the optimal pills, we see all the time patients' heart muscle improving from 30% function, 45, 50%, sometimes more. So as you said, time is muscle. We all need to remember that and take care of ourselves.
Right. But I guess it's good to know that the heart muscle can maybe recover to a certain degree, maybe not 100%
Absolutely.
Or fully, but at least it can certainly improve and keep beating, because you really need that.
Yes, because
I'm not a doctor, but even I know that.
Absolutely. No. So sometimes, you know, the heart muscle is stunned, which means it's not dead. It's just and timely perfusion or timely supplying the blood flow back to that area can really help sudden recovery of that muscle. So sometimes it's transient. Sometimes if too much delay, then we might not be able to recover that muscle back.
Right.
And then we have further advanced therapy to take care of those patients. But I would highly recommend to know these warning signs, prevent, catch your warning sign, and take care of your health.
That's important. And again, with the staff that you have at the Heart Center, at the Cardiac Cath Lab and things like that, I mean, these folks are trained to deal with all these different levels of heart problems, correct?
Absolutely. The whole San Juan Regional Heart Center, as well as our cath lab, very, very good services they have. I moved here from Manhattan, New York. I am very impressed with the city as well as the Heart Center here. Very good quality services we provide here, and I'm very proud to be part of this group.
Very good. And you've mentioned you've been seeing patients, and so again, learning a little bit about the community and folks who are coming to see you with heart issues or what have you. And so, but it seems like from the things we've been talking about that just the lifestyle of the average American is bad for our hearts. No exercise, eating horribly, those types of things. I mean, you don't have to say it. I'll say it.
I would say, you know, the control is in our hands.
That's true.
What goes in our body is up to us. You know, we are
right.
Feeding ourselves.
You're
so
right.
We control what we eat, and we have all the opportunity, you know, 2.5 hours of exercise a week.
No one's ever forced me into a drive-thru lane at gunpoint. I've always gone there on my own. So I hear what you're saying. So
2.5 hours of exercise a week is like watching a movie, you know?
Right.
Watch one less movie, put that 1 hour, 2.5 hours to your body, exercise, and that will really improve your heart health and make you live longer.
Right, right. Can I exercise while I watch the movie?
Absolutely, yeah.
If I have my stationary bike in front of the TV, I suppose I could, right?
As long as you're doing moderate to high intensity, you're sweating, your heart rate is going up.
That's what you want?
Absolutely.
That 30 minutes is what you want?
30 minutes a day for 5 days a week at least.
Okay.
Exercise perspective.
Very good. Let me go through the other ones with you. Again, eating the fruits and vegetables, right?
Five servings a day. And again, no smoking, as well as maintaining the ideal body weight with a normal BMI, the body mass index.
Right.
Normal ranging from 18.5 to 24.9. So that is a little complex term. So it's calculated by your weight and the body surface area. So that gives you a body mass index. So
right.
Keep a close eye and try to be in the normal range.
That's what we look at, right? And I guess age, too, would play a factor in the BMI, does it not, or no? Is it mostly just height and weight?
Not in the BMI. Not in the BMI, yes.
Okay. I can't blame it on age. All right. And smoking is the other big one, right? Not
absolutely,
to smoke.
Absolutely, yeah. Very, very one of the top risk factors, because every time you smoke, you know, even a single cigarette affects your body significantly. Like from a cardiac perspective, it causes endothelial dysfunction. From a different perspective, I want to talk, like if you smoke a cigarette in your nose and the bronchus, it numbs up, it paralyzes your cilia, the protective lining of your lungs and the bronchus, for 24 hours. So much damage you have with smoking, even one cigarette.
Right.
And it's persistent for...
And those are
the, yeah.
And those are the things that get the bad stuff out of our lungs, isn't
absolutely,
that true?
Yeah,
so if they're not
saying,
working right...
The protective mechanism is affected with our smoking.
Right.
And it takes 5 to 6, 7 years to be off being a non-smoker to maybe compare equally to a non-smoker's cardiac health. So you have to quit for a long time to be able to reap the same benefits as a non-smoker versus a former smoker.
And so your heart is trying to compensate for all that damage that we're doing, right?
And over the past years.
Exactly. Interesting. Well, very informative. Dr. Gottkruger, thank you very much for being here this morning.
My pleasure.
The information very much. Tammy Herrera, thank you for coming in.
Thank you.
And joining us this morning as well with your information. And for all of you at the hospital, keep up the good work, because we're depending on all of you. So thank you very much.
Pleasure to be here.
You're very welcome. My guests here on KSJE, everyone, I'll be back with more in just a moment. The time right now is 8:30. Did you enjoy that podcast? We hope that you did. And if you did, share it with your friends. And if you really want to keep podcasts like this coming, please support KSJE. You can do it easily online at ksje.com.